Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring you their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, where we don't just talk about success, we get under the hood of what actually drives it. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and this is the show where public speaking meets real influence, where your voice isn't just heard, it moves something. Now, today's episode, prick your ears, because we're not playing it safe. We're getting into territory most people won't even touch: consciousness. Not the woo kind, not some vague mindfulness trend. We're talking about consciousness as a tactical edge in business, decision-making, and day-to-day leadership. And my guest today is the one dragging this conversation out of the shadows and straight into the boardroom. Meet Charlie Johnson, entrepreneur, TEDx speaker, former nonprofit president, and the world's first chief consciousness officer. Yes, you heard that right. CCO. Charlie's got 20 years of corporate grind under his belt, 7 years leading the Pay It Forward Foundation, and a decade studying under an enlightened teacher. He's blended these experiences into something most people haven't even begun to think about. Yet it's exactly what businesses are striving for and starving for. He's on a mission to inject clarity, neutrality, and a higher level thinking into organizations before the noise of AI, overwhelm, and disconnection takes us all under. Charlie says consciousness isn't spiritual, it's strategic. And once you understand how it works, you'll realize it's been shaping your business and your life all along. You just haven't been aware of it. Today, we're diving into what a chief consciousness officer actually does, why every company will need one soon, and how speaking about this message has helped him plant a flag in an entirely new territory. So let's go, everybody. Welcome to the stage, Charlie Johnson.
Thank you for having me.
It's wonderful to have you. So you've had this wild blend of corporate leadership and nonprofit work and over a decade studying with an enlightened teacher, something I certainly want to know about. And at what point did all of these experiences start connecting into something that's bigger for you?
Just this recently, the chief consciousness officer, the thing that's really opening the doors, the thing that everyone's talking about, the thing that has me doing 50, basically almost 60 of these podcasts within the 5 weeks is the chief consciousness officer. So it's been very recent. Now, the business background, the nonprofit background, the time with the teacher, usually what happens when an individual crosses my teacher's path is he does such an amazing job of stripping away everything that is the human bias, the human conditioning, basically pulls the cover back that most people will just leave the world behind. Go to the Himalayas, they'll meditate, they don't want anything to do with corporations, they want nothing to do with money, they want to figure out a different way of the world. That was not me. I tried very aggressively for over a decade to really calm my passion down, to really calm my swearing down, to be more spiritual, to be like my teacher, to be, it's all one, the loose fitting clothing, the mala beads, the typical spiritual understanding. It just never happened. And he's an individual that defies the laws of physics. He can see everything. He can do things you can't even fathom, but the universe had a different plan. So what I wanted to do is I've always wanted to combine the expertise of the business, the nonprofit, and the spiritual side of things. But I wanted to bring back into the business world the understanding that consciousness is everything. It has nothing to do with spirituality. Now, most people who are spiritual are the ones talking about consciousness. So the world has a construct and understanding that consciousness is only spiritual. Until you jump out on that path and you meditate and you do Reiki and you do ayahuasca and all that, you won't understand. No. Everything physical and non-physical is consciousness. we need to bring that understanding to the masses.
Mm-hmm.
If the masses don't understand it, the masses stay up here in the middle mind, the middleman, which is the mind. The division and conflict that we see the world going through at its extreme level right now, it won't change. So I wanted to bring this combination, these three unique things together, bridge the gap between the two worlds, help the vast majority of the world understand that they've had a blank check and they've all cashed it for $100. If I had a blank check, I assume you're like me, you would cash it with a lot more zeros than two. So when we bring that, exactly, when we bring that understanding of consciousness to a religious person, a spiritual person, an atheist, a Catholic, a Republican, a Democrat, a 10-year-old to a 40-year-old, when they start to understand that's who they are, that's where all the knowledge in the world comes from, it changes everything.
Oh, I love this conversation already, because this is really, it could be thought of as getting into the weeds, but really it's mm-hmm. getting down to the core.
Yeah, the leaves of a tree are everything we worry about. The root of the tree is consciousness. It always has been, and now the world is waking up to it. They're becoming more aware of the root, which is consciousness.
Such an exciting conversation, right? Now, the teacher that turned you on to this, or that brought this to you or out of you, are you going to share who that is? And second of all, what brought you to him in the first place?
No one will ever know who he is. He's the type of individual that is just a very behind the scenes individual. The me being the one that crossed his path and was created, like you said, channeled through me, not given to me, makes absolutely no sense. Born and raised in Utah, very religious state, very Mormon state. I wasn't Mormon, but I also wasn't atheist. I wasn't Catholic. I wasn't Buddhist. I had very unique parents. I was just a blank slate. We weren't religious. We weren't spiritual. It wasn't in our awareness. It wasn't something we did. It wasn't something we were for. It wasn't something we were against. It just wasn't part of our awareness. As I grew up, I was offered a job at a very early age, and I never did good around kids my age. As soon as I got around adults, I flourished. I loved being around them. I loved learning. I loved being the sponge. I loved asking different questions. I loved being the most ignorant person in the room and just accepting all of that advice, that knowledge, that guidance, everything. I had no business background, didn't go to college, but as soon as I got involved with business, it just took off. Now, the CEO who saw something in me that no one else saw, she passed away pretty quickly into that company. And I was very young at the time, but myself and another individual, we were already treating the company like it was ours. So she passed away on a Saturday. We took over on a Monday. So we were early 20s, and we had 150 employees who were looking at us, adults, kids, mortgages, payments, wondering what the hell was going to happen. We were blissfully ignorant to what we needed to do. And that's a good thing, because we just took off. We did all the marketing. We did all the traveling. We did everything we needed to do, and it did quite well. During that time, I was the face, I was the sales, the marketing, I was out doing a lot of traveling. I was flying probably in that time period, 2 million miles. All of a sudden, I developed a fear of flying, which made, it just came out of nowhere. I didn't understand at the time, but it got to the point where it was so bad because I was the face, that if I wasn't traveling, if I wasn't flying, if I wasn't doing what I needed to be doing, I needed to leave. And the universe got me to the point where it was so bad that I left. I walked away. A month later, I was on a plane to Europe. So it had nothing to do with the fear of flying. It was the universe's way of getting me to move. I love safety. I love security. That business was doing great. Culture was incredible. The people were incredible. I loved everything about it. For me to leave there, it would have taken a back to God to get me out of there. And that's exactly what happened, because I would have never left on my own accord ever. So I left that. I got involved with the Pay It Forward Foundation with the book and the movie. That was my way of going from for profit to nonprofit. As humans do, we go from one extreme to the next, thinking that because this didn't work, this is going to be better, when it's just the heads to the tails of the coin, right? That was fun. We traveled all over the world, got millions of bracelets, tens of millions of people involved, 130 countries. Great. Perfect. That's the normal story you hear, right? We leave capitalism. We go nonprofit. We think we're going to save the world. That's perfect. That's exactly what I did. But during that time, I crossed paths with a very old dude who came up to me out of nowhere and said at the gym, I feel like I've known you from a past life. But the story of telling you how I grew up is part of this because I had no clue what that meant. I wasn't Buddhist.
Okay, that was the question. Was that totally unfamiliar to you? Though it sounds like you're open to it. You just didn't know.
I was open to it because I was open to anything. I didn't have a construct. So I said, first of all, he was in a sauna. I was in the sauna. He was naked. I was sitting. He was standing. So you can understand where my eye level was. I simply said, hey, first of all, get out of my face with that. Just take a seat and put a towel on. Second of all, what do you mean by a past life? That, after 30-something years, was what broke the dam. Again, I had no reference. I wasn't spiritual. I wasn't religious. I wasn't looking for it. Nothing. Prior to me meeting him and saying that, I was doing what typical individuals do that was in business, that were in nonprofit. We do some type of self-development. We find a coach. We find someone to make us better. I was doing the same thing, but none of these coaches could help me. Every one of them just said, you're not for us. It doesn't work. Luckily, there was one individual who said, you're asking very high level, deep questions that make no sense to me. You need a teacher. I said, do I need to go back to college? I just got done with high school. What are you talking about, a teacher? She said, like a spiritual teacher. And that's the first time I heard spirituality. 2 months later, I met Dick. His name's Dick Birch. I feel like I've known you from a past life. Here's the universe stepping in again. He was the typical Utah, very religious. His whole family was Mormon. He wasn't. He had no one to talk to. In steps me, this blank slate. He loved just throwing it all out there onto me because I was open to it. Had me reading books, taught me about meditation, had me start an understanding spirituality, et cetera, et cetera. He had me meet his meditation teacher. Great. Started learning that. Me being me, I got very aggressive with all the book reading, with all the meditation, everything. As soon as I got done with the meditation teacher, I looked at him and I said, there's got to be more. I'm not just going to meditate. Is that it? Like, I learned all of this in my early 30s. Is that it? And the guy looked at me and said, there's a very unique individual just 10 minutes up the road, but I haven't sent someone to him in over a decade. I said, okay, cool. Call him. He's, no, you don't understand. People don't cross this individual's path for no reason. He does not waste time. He will eat you alive. I said, cool. That's great. You saw how aggressively I came to you. You saw how much I meditated, all the books I read, everything you told me to do, I did. Do you think I'm going to waste this time? He said, no. Okay, let me try. The next week I met him. Now, during this time was pay it forward days. It was just a couple years after business. So I was still in that business mindset. During that time, Steve Jobs was a big deal. I loved his book from Walter Isaacson. I loved Put a Dent in the Universe. I loved all the movies coming out.
Good.
Right?
So good.
I had a picture of Steve Jobs on my phone as my screensaver. When I met this teacher, he was a spitting image of Steve Jobs.
Say that again. He was what?
He was a spitting image of Steve Jobs.
Really? Interesting.
So again, the universe, me and my ignorance, thinking I wanted to be like Steve Jobs. I was looking for this guy. So as soon as I met him, I just said, I don't know why, but whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Again, this guy can do things that defy the laws of physics. He can see everything you're thinking. He can see everything that's going on in your body. He scares the hell out of most people, even though he saved a lot of people. He had me read books very few people read. He had me do everything you would think a spiritual teacher would do, but not for the reasons you would think. He was having me read all these different books from different religions and different ideals and different beliefs and different everything for me to finally come to the conclusion every religion, God, every political, every side, every ideal, every belief is coming from the same source. Because my question to him was always, first of all, I wanted truth. And he kept begging me not to because he knew what it would do to me. Secondly, I always wondered why we would kill each other over our gods, why political adversaries were at each other's throat when they were so intelligent. He wanted me to understand why. All politics, all religions, all gods, all ideals, all they're all coming from the same source. How is it that we are so ignorant and at each other's throats and all the wars and everything? Levels of consciousness. The mind. The mind is always divided. The mind is always going to be conditioned. If you're born in Utah, most likely you're going to be very religious and Mormon. If you're born in Texas, most likely you're going to be Baptist. If you're born in the Middle East, you're born in Japan, you're born in Europe, you're born. We don't understand how much bias and conditioning from our parents who love us, from our teachers who love us, from our education system that's trying to build into us intelligence. We don't realize how much conditioning and bias that creates. How many sides that makes us choose, how much division and conflict the world creates from both sides. That's what he did. He stripped it all away. He didn't fill my already full, overwhelmed, stressed out mind with more, which is how we go about our day and wonder why we're so overwhelmed and stressed. He stripped it. He allowed me to understand the whole. He allowed me to understand all sides. He allowed me to understand the whole picture. And he helped me understand that everything that's coming from the same source, that source is consciousness. Knowledge is structured in consciousness. You got to think, every podcast, every book you've ever read, every self-development class you've ever done, every video you've ever watched, every opinion you've ever heard, anything you've ever been taught, listened to, thought, it's all coming from the same source. It's all being funneled through our mind. It's a thought. It's an idea. It's a theory. It's all coming from the same source. Consciousness is fundamental to our reality and to our experience. It is not created by this. There's intelligent people still that believe that the brain creates consciousness. That's like listening to your car radio and thinking the band is inside your car radio. This is a filter. This is merely a filter. Everything is consciousness. Knowledge is consciousness. We are consciousness. Our thoughts are consciousness. Bringing this awareness to every level, every intelligent, every age, every employee, every executive, every religion, every spiritual individual, bringing that knowledge to the individual. That's clear.
Information is starting to get out there in a big way.
And, yes, it is.
And obviously you're a big part of that as well. It all comes from the same place. And I always feel all paths lead back to the same place as well.
100%.
It's really circular, yes. But it's interesting. Things that used to be considered ooga booga and that you were out in left field are now becoming more acceptable. Channeling is very acceptable. It used to be it belonged to a few people, but everybody channels in their own way. Some people much more tapped in and significant. You, for one, saying, I was a blank slate. That seems to be where you find a lot of significant channeling that goes on with an easier flow because you didn't have a framework to doubt it. You didn't have anything in place. So most of the channelers that I know, they're usually innocents. They're usually, we call them the innocents. They don't have anything in the way, so to speak. But really, I wish people understood that you channel all the time.
You and I are channeling right now. Yeah.
And literally, it's so easy to identify, like you'll think about someone and they call you, or you know what to say to the next person they needed to hear, but you don't always think it came from you. It came through you. It's not of you. And it's a phenomenal thing. And the more you let it in, the more you open up, the more it happens. And it's such an enjoyable process. But for you, this is interesting, being so young and having discovered this and have somebody connect with you in such a significant way. There really are no coincidences, are they?
No.
Are there?
No.
You were brought to this person intentionally. You were
100%.
He was brought to you. You were brought to him, it seems to me.
100%. And to your comment about channeling, That's one thing I've yet to understand is there are very advanced civilizations that individuals can channel. They have an incredible grasp on physics, on mathematics, on consciousness, on everything that we're trying to figure out. I would really hope at some point very soon, I think it's already happening behind the scenes, that the channel and our physicists and our scientists would connect more. Because we're out there with theories, we're out there saying we don't know. There's quite a few other civilizations and beings that do know, and they could really help us advance humanity.
And they're here. They may be there, mm-hmm. but they're here already. And so it makes it fascinating. Another interesting thing that came to mind, and this is weird because this is in our conversation, is that when you started to speak, I was thinking in my mind about it's, I just swear to you, this is so odd. When you started to talk, and I thought of Steve Jobs, because he used to leave. You read the book, I did too. And he would leave a couple weeks out of the year. He would go away and no one knew who he was with. I think we always thought he was by himself, but it channeling was a big part of that. And so was the gentleman whose name I cannot pull to mind, but he was a boy in India. Do you remember the boy? They did a big movie on him. I think it was called something along the lines of The Man Who Knew Too Much. And he literally was a poor kid in India. And he came up with the physics that we use now. He was so far ahead, they couldn't even use what he had at the time. They just knew it was brilliance. Now we use it in our space programs.
Yep.
And I was thinking about Elon Musk as well, someone who I'm a fan of. And I think he has an interesting take on things too.
Yes, I do think
he has a very unique place in the world here.
Yep.
1 foot here and 1 foot somewhere else.
Agreed. Him and Tesla and everything. Tesla was so far ahead of his time, and they knew that's why they suppressed all his information, all his technology, but at least it's coming out now.
It's similar, the doctor, I think his name was Dr. Ryle. He had cured all these diseases using sound frequency.
And Rife,
that's who it was. Mm-hmm. Rife, and they shut him down. They made him go away. And it's scary. AMA, I personally think of them as just the medical union, not the healing place, not mm-hmm. the healing group, just the business, just the business entity. That's my own opinion. Just saying.
Well, anyway. And the good thing about consciousness shifting as it is, I've actually crossed paths with some companies that are bringing that stuff out in a good way to different medical procedures, different medical applications. In the Tesla, in the energy, in the nanotechnology type of way. And that's just the way it works. It's like an 11-year-old trying to stay 12. It's not going to happen.
How do you see AI involved in as being part of this component? Because that's about to blow up in a really huge way across all industries. It already has, just people aren't aware of it. How do you think that fits into this paradigm?
We have the construct that it's artificial. It's not artificial. It came from us. It's consciousness. We are the ones that put constructs on it. And anything else on this planet that humans create, it's going to have people who are for it, and they're going to have people who are against it.
And people who will abuse it.
And there's people who will do the right things, and there's people who will do the not so right things. That's humans. That's the mind. That's the division. That's the conflict, which leads me to the chief consciousness officer, which leads me to coming to the source. The more people who come to the source where it's pure and it's not divided, there will be less division and conflict. We will do better. We will do better things with artificial intelligence. We will do better things with what we created and then all of a sudden turned them into weapons. The higher the level of consciousness, the higher level of clarity, the less division and conflict, the less we mess with good things and turn them into not so good things.
So how does this in your world, in what you're creating with your work, how did you end up with the idea of chief consciousness officer, and how did that evolve to where that ended up being an official job title?
I was talking to a friend maybe 4 months ago, and we were going back and forth, and as you would always say, and I would agree, it just came to me. So it was channeled. We were like, how do we do this? How do we figure this out? I was trying to do some type of consulting and coaching, which I don't like. I don't like social media, but I was like, shit, if I have to play the game to get this out, then I'll do that. And then all of a sudden I was like, chief consciousness officer. And he's, holy shit, man, that's perfect. I was like, cool. And then that's when the door started opening, because the combination of the business, the nonprofit, the time with the teacher, the fact that I'm still in this world, I didn't go off and take off. I'm not super spiritual. I'm not super religious. I'm incredibly neutral, which I think is the biggest key to this position. Truly, I don't vote. I don't have a religion. I'm not spiritual. I'm not this. I've always felt out of place. I've always tried to figure out some way to take that and help. I used to help a lot of very spiritual people, a very small group of individuals to the top of the mountain, help them with awakening and enlightenment. But that didn't feel right either, even though it worked. I wanted to figure out a way to put a dent in the universe, as Mr. Jobs would say, and bring this information to the masses. It doesn't need to be secretive. It doesn't need to be unknown. It doesn't need to be just for the select few. It doesn't need to be for the select few who care about truth and awakening, because that's a very small group of individuals. The vast majority of the world doesn't care about spirituality. They're probably not going to meditate, but that's just a construct. I started piecing together all the things that my teacher helped me with. I'm like, everything's consciousness. So why in the hell am I only helping a small select group of people? Business isn't going away. Everyone needs a job. Why can we not bring consciousness into the business? And then you start talking about conscious capitalism, conscious leadership, which people have been doing. And I thought to myself, so that's been happening. These companies have been doing wellness programs for the last 20 years, yoga, meditation, Tai Chi, whatever, right? But we've never been so divided and conflicted. We have 10,000 books on happiness, and we've never been so unhappy. Something's missing, because we're the leaf of a tree. We're always dealing with the mind, the middleman, the thing that's always going to be divided, the thing that's always going to choose a side. So again, time, the universe, everything started piecing together. I'm like, chief consciousness officer, what better thing for a company than having someone on staff who understands consciousness as it becomes the central focus of humanity, who's neutral and can be there 365 days a year, not just 1 month a year, and then everyone just goes off for the other 11 months and doesn't care. Someone in the trenches in an organization day in and day out, just like a CTO for technology 30 years ago. Everyone knew online was going to be a big deal. Websites were going to be a big deal. Technology was going to be a big deal. But no one knew how to code. No one knew how to put a website up. No one knew how to upload a URL. So they hired chief technology officers. The final frontier for humanity is what? Consciousness. It's starting to be talked about more. Companies are going to want to have a legit chief consciousness officer on staff who isn't completely far out in right field on the ayahuasca spiritual trip, who doesn't care about business anymore. It needs to be a combination. It needs to be a bridge that everyone from customer service to the C-suite can be helped understand what consciousness is, to bring them clarity to marketing, to bring clarity to sales, to bring clarity to operations, to manufacturing, to the customer service person. You see how simple this is being spoken about. You see how unspiritual this is spoken about. Consciousness is everything. Everyone should know that. Let's bring it in and see what happens. I assume it's going to be great.
Consciousness, then, it's really the focus then is for you. It's not spiritual. It's really tactical. You're really trying to bring this into organizations. How are you able to sell that in? And as you're talking about, how many companies can you do at a time?
So I want it to be a full-time position. So we've done close to 60 of these in the past 5 weeks. So that's how quickly this is happening. How many people are attracted to this position? Because it's in the collective. More and more people, business and politicians, are starting to really want to know what this position is, but more importantly, what it's not. So I want to be hired full-time by a very good-sized organization to show the individual, to show the world what happens. I assume that when other companies find out about this, there's going to be that human nature, fear of missing out. They're going to make that same hire. So I've had hundreds of people cross my paths in the past month that said, I love this position. It's my dream position. What do I got to do? So we'll help work with them. We'll help train them. We'll help them understand what that position is, so that when companies truly do go on a hiring spree, like they did CTOs, people will be ready. But I want it to be a full, very clearly, I don't want this to be a consultant. I don't want it to be a coach. I don't want it to be a month on, 6 weeks here. And I want it to be a full-time staple inside the organization.
And you're assuming this will pay well?
Yes.
Because we have to get down to that too, that it better be a paying position. And then you're really having to teach business leaders to actually spot those blind spots that they usually wouldn't have the tools or the lingo or the perspective to correct, but you have that.
So with the CEO, you would help with strategy, because if you're here, this is the typical human perspective. You could be Harvard grad, 170 IQ, you have the blinders on. If the CCO comes in, you're going to expand awareness. When you expand awareness, more things, more solutions, better questions, better ways forward, maybe things you couldn't see before, like you take the blinders off a horse. You'll help a CEO with strategy. You'll help HR hire consciousness individuals. The chief people officer, you'll bring clarity to them. This position is not a threat to any C-suite. You'll be in the meeting with marketing because you're going to take the CMO and his or her team from here to here. They're going to come up with new ideas. They're going to be more creative. Sales may be tapped out. Like, we've tried everything. We're plateauing here to here. You'll help operations. You'll help the CFO with finances. You'll help the VP. You'll help customer service. You'll help everyone within the organization go from here to here. Even this conversation, you allowing this to be heard by your audience, they're going to go from here to here. It's like the 4 minute mile. It was impossible until somebody did it. Exactly. So bringing awareness past the mind to the source of consciousness, which everyone listening is and has access to, it changes their perception. It rewires their brain. They realize they have access to any ounce of knowledge they want.
So really, it sounds like the way you're able to position this is this gives a company a competitive edge or a competitive advantage.
I can't imagine a more powerful competitive edge, because then you also have someone on staff who's neutral. We'll see the whole picture. Susie and Ed just don't get along because they're political rivals, but they're on the same team, just helping them have less division and conflict, bringing clarity to all the C-suite, bringing clarity to customer service, allowing people to understand they have access to different questions, to different answers, to different knowledge, letting them see things in a more expanded version. I can't imagine. I really can't imagine anything more powerful than that.
And add to it, it's exciting and it's engaging and it's mind-blowing. Yeah, I go back to the Matrix trilogy and take a look at that. And even if you didn't know what was going on, it was still really thought-provoking, which feel like it's never about the answers. It's all about the questions. It's all about coming up with the questions. The answers will reveal themselves.
Truly. And if you expand, you have different questions, and the answers are in the expanded version.
It's
very simple. Yeah. And the other thing is, there's so many companies who are doing conscious leadership or conscious capitalism, right? These consultants and coaches come into these business and work with these organizations for a month, maybe 2 months. What about the other 10 to 11 months? Imagine having someone on staff, full time, who can keep that going 365 days a year. Answer questions that not even the consultant or the coach can answer. Answer questions for the CEO who just came back from an ayahuasca trip and he had a great time for 2 weeks. But what about the other 50 weeks where he may have questions about that awakening, that process? Like, just being there on staff for everything from strategy to spiritual, everything from expanding to better questions and better answers to being at the watering hole, listening to someone talk about an experience they had and taking the mysticism and magical stuff out of it. It's normal.
Really quite interesting. Now, how many people are on your team now that you have created to send out? You can only do so much on your own.
Again, it's only been about 5 weeks, so this is brand new. I'm still just doing as many of these as I can, so the audience of executives, of business owners, of C-suites are at least getting to find out that one day they're going about their life and the next day they realize that the chief consciousness officer is an option. So I'm really just trying to get awareness right now.
So this is really a movement, a cause, a passion. and something that really is designed to change the world. And I'm going to switch this up just a little bit, because the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight is really, it was created in order to really emphasize the point that public speaking is one of the most, if not the most powerful way to expand your business and grow your tribe and really bring your passion out from the closet into the world. And a lot of people are afraid of it, but in your particular situation, you don't hit me as someone who's shy or uncomfortable with speaking, but how has it helped you grow your passion? How has it helped you attract the right people to you?
When you go through the spiritual path, you hear that love, everything's love. The highest vibration is love, right? No, they've done studies now that the highest vibration and frequency is authenticity. This position, this ability to do this with you has brought out more of my authentic self. Because like I told you, when I met my teacher and he's very cool, calm, and collect, very quiet, I thought I needed to do that. I thought I needed to be cool, calm, and quiet. I thought I needed to get rid of the ego, get rid of my passion, get rid of how aggressive I was when I talked about this. Does it look like it went away? No. And I had the highest level teaching you could ever fathom. And I meditated upon hours. This stuck. Steve Jobs was very authentic. He did incredible things. Authenticity doesn't mean the lack of love, but it also doesn't mean the lack of aggression. It doesn't mean the lack of passion. It doesn't mean the lack of sometimes you're an asshole. It doesn't mean the lack of still being scared to do public speaking. Authenticity is authenticity. It includes the spectrum of everything a human can go through. This, when I'm talking about this, when this is channeling through, this is where I'm my most comfortable. And this is because I'm being my most authentic. That's my natural energy. That's why this is so attractive to podcasts, to executives, to why this is taking off so quickly, because I'm being my authentic self. Authenticity is what this has really brought out in me.
With that, with that authenticity, then you're just not informing people. You're really waking people up.
Yes. Yeah, we have words, we have constructs, we have English, we have French, we have German, whatever, but it's an energy. It's an energy. You talk about channeling earlier on, the telepathy, mm-hmm. everything. It's an energy. The rudimentary words that we use are very childish, but that's how we function on the 3D realm. It's an energy. Everyone, scientific, non-scientific, religious, spiritual, hate all that stuff. Everyone jokes about it. Everyone talks about it. Oh, I walked into a room and I just felt good. That person's evil to me. It's energy. So when you're being authentic, yeah, you hear words because that's art, the construct. That's how we communicate. But it's the energy that comes out of me that usually gets people to open up and be able to feel what the message is.
That's a perfect description too. That happens to be a superpower of mine, of walking into a room. And I think everybody's got it. I just pay attention to it, where you can walk into a room and you can feel the room. You can mm-hmm. feel whether they're for you. You can feel whether there's a challenge going on over there. You can feel where the peaceful people are in the room. It goes beyond words. So yes. I think that's a great way to describe it. So what you're doing, I can tell how excited you are about it. Mm-hmm. I can tell how authentically you are walking through this time in life. How's it affected your personal relationships? Does it bleed over into that as well?
Currently, no. When I was more ignorant to the spiritual side of things, when I was going from one extreme to the other, yes. Because you hear certain stories of you're going to lose this, that person's not going to work, that you're going to be stripped away of everything, et cetera, et cetera. Like just constructs of what the spiritual path is. That, as a natural human, when you're doing the unknown, when you're doing something different, you're looking for guidance. And if you read a story, you read a book of this is what happened to them, you feel like you have an expectation. This is what's going to happen to me. So there was a lot of change and a lot of darkness and a lot of everything going through that. When you come out of it and you realize you're exactly where you started, you're more authentic, you're more settled. It's just some play basketball. Some are speakers, some do podcasts, some are farmers, some are gardeners, some people talk about consciousness. What's the difference? It's all the same.
So that leveling for you, would you say that's revealed to you beyond a purpose that you found a level? Is it peacefulness? Is it happiness? Is it calm? What is it? How would you describe it?
All of the above. I had an expectation that a lot of the negative side of life was going to go away. That doesn't go away. There's still stress. There's still worries. There's still normal 3D realm, becoming a human, being fully embodied in a human. That doesn't go away. So I would love to tell you it's all bliss and peaceful because that's what the books talk about. That's what people are expecting. No. If you really listen to high-level teachers and you listen to them, not you don't hear what you want to hear because you want to get rid of something. When you hear them really talk, they're still going to drop the body. They still have bad days. They still have things that piss them off. They still have relationship struggles. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. Did you ever listen to Ram Dass? Do you know who Ram Dass is?
I do.
Okay. Do you remember? He did one of his podcasts and one of his talks from way back in the day. I remember, and this is when it really made me understand what was going on. He said, I've had the highest level teaching. I've done more psychedelic trips than you can shake a stick at. I've meditated for years. I've done everything I needed to do. I've been around the highest level people. I've done all the practices, all the modalities. It's been decades. He said, after all of that, not a single one of my neuroses went away. So when I heard that, and he's such a heart-centered teacher, high-level consciousness, the world loves him, I was like, shit. If I expect different, I'm out of my mind. That's what gave me the okayness to still have this passion, this aggression, to still swear, to still do certain things that's natural to me, because nothing about Ram Dass changed. Nothing. He admitted it. So
I think that's a heartful message to everybody, because the thing is, if there's joy, there's happiness, there's calm, etc., right? But none of those things would be as highly valued if they were 24 hours a day. It'd just be Tuesday. In other words, if you want joy, you have to have the opposite. You have to have experienced the opposite to really get the highest and best of joy. If you want to appreciate calm, you know what? Some torture and misery, and even just being verklempt, is valuable to the process of really appreciating when you finally acquire calmness or peacefulness or sanctuary. You really need both sides of it to make it a really rich experience. Being in love is right, it's the hype, but you have to have the opposite to really appreciate how incredible it is when you are blended with someone else and it is going really well. So I embrace both sides because that's being human. I really appreciate being human because I get to do other things too. But
well,
right now,
that's the most important thing, because if you listen to the near-death experiences, the tens of millions of people who've been through them, they say the same thing. And what I get from that is that we got bored because we had everything up there. We had the peace, the bliss, our thoughts immediately manifested anything we want. And for some reason, our soul chose here to come here to understand what we are not, to have limits, to have constraints. Because again, it just seems like we got bored and we wanted to experience something new. As much as I want to talk to my soul and kick his ass for putting me through what's going on, it sounds like we signed up for this. So we got bored.
We chose, and we came down here with a purpose, but right along with satisfying that purpose came a lot of humanness. And that means pain and misery and highs and lows, physicality and touch, and you could just name all the fabulous things, and with it comes good and bad. But would you do without it? Just sitting around on the other side with everything going so. I just did a podcast, and one of the conversation, a part of the conversation was lottery winners. People think they want the lottery. It all sounds really good, but if you were to go back and check the statistics, people that win the lottery, which you think is the high of the high as far as your finances. Oh, I got it all at once. They almost all of them lose it very quickly. Anybody who comes into a lot of money really quickly usually is it, they end up not happy. They blow it. They make major moves that absolutely sabotage themselves. And I think part of that reason is that the process of earning it, the process of having to wait, the process of the anticipation of it, all of those things, those human things, excuse me, they're what make it such a rich experience when you come into it. If you had to wait to buy the car that you really wanted, you'll appreciate that car a whole lot more than if you got it yesterday. And somebody gave it to you and just handed you the keys. Where's the accomplishment? I think when I go on a trip, I'm not sure it's not more exciting, the anticipation of going, as actually the experience of it. So I love all the things. I appreciate all the things that you're saying. And consciousness is such a big, exciting topic. I hope more people will pay attention to this episode.
I hope so too. And for those listening, just Google it. Start to understand it. Start to understand that you have access to it, that you've always had access to it, that you've just been unknowingly severed from it. Understand that all the information that you seek, the answers you seek, are structured in consciousness. The more you understand that, the more you understand what that is, know what it is, you'll have access to stuff you thought you didn't have access to.
Gosh, Charlie, isn't it the great adventure? Mm-hmm. Really, I look at it that way. It's the great adventure, the search. It's the ultimate search, and it makes everything better. It makes every day more interesting. Charlie, what a conversation.
Yes, I feel like we
just opened a part of business most people don't even realize it exists, and you really brought a real world experience, but certainly a deeper insight. And I swear to God, the message is honestly, it just couldn't be more timely. So I love Right? I love that you make us think differently about everything from leadership to consciousness and about what actually matters. So thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Thank you for allowing your listeners to hear this message and spreading the word on it.
It's important. What you brought today, it's not just an abstract idea that's floating around in the clouds. It's real. It's a tactical tool that really belongs at any decision-making table. And if we don't start prioritizing awareness and clarity in our companies now, we're going to be losing our human edge in the face of AI and all these constant choices. So I think this conversation, we're just getting started. I think you just opened up the opportunity. Imagine who will be talking about this at their dinner table tonight.
Exactly.
And it's not the best. You've set people on a conversation.
Yep. That's all I need to do. Appreciate it.
You did a great job. If people want to know more about Charlie and his role of Chief Conscious Officer, check out his LinkedIn under Charlie Johnson. I'll make sure that it is in the show notes, but he has it under linkedin.com/in/CJ Consciousness. And if you're a forward-thinking company that's ready to evolve, this is your guy. He's not just talking about creating CCOs. He's training them. He's laying the groundwork for a new kind of leadership. And when it comes to public speaking, Charlie's not just about giving talks. He's really trying to deliver a wake-up call. And it's the kind of speaking that it's not just trying to inform, it transforms. So that's the kind of value he brings to the stage and to the boardroom and to the mic. So everyone listening, thank you for riding along with us today. If this conversation sparked something in you, go ahead, share it. This is going to become a bigger conversation really quickly over the next couple of years. And Charlie's really got his finger on the pulse about it. Drop us a comment. We actually read them. And every bit of your feedback, it really helps us to grow this show because we take in a lot of people who have an interesting perspective. And I think you'd agree that Charlie has a very interesting perspective to share, because here it's not just about talking, it's about leading. It's about owning your message and creating something bigger with it. That's the power of public speaking. That's what we're all about. And Charlie has certainly shown us a perfect example of how that works. So with that said, I thank everybody for being here. And as always, I look forward to our next conversation. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and hard-earned, time-tested wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. And that's what it's all about. If you found value in today's episode, let us know, and I hope you'll take a moment and subscribe to The Spotlight wherever you listen to your podcasts, so you never miss a thought-provoking or idea-producing conversation. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and I can't wait to see you back here for the next episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.